Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com. As we are coming to you on a Friday, we're just 6 days away from the 2021 NFL draft kicking off. Really excited for it to obviously get going. This year's pre-draft process honestly feels like it went quicker than usual, despite no combine or usual pre-draft process with visits and everything that has been affected by COVID. But overall, we're obviously in the home stretch here, and we are going to kind of continue to do our deep dives into some of the top positions in need for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've done offensive line, both tackles and interior guys so far. The last podcast episode we did, we looked at the edge defenders, and today we will be looking at wide receivers, giving my top 10 rankings as I've been finalizing those the last week or so. I finalized my top 32 overall rankings late last week, and my wide receivers, I'm finishing up as far as getting into the 20s and 30s overall. But yeah, we're going to be focusing on the top 10 today. Another deep wide receiver class. I'm not sure if it's better than last year's. It's probably honestly about the same. I think when you put into perspective the type of roles that these guys have filled so far, and also just considering who opted out and obviously the unfortunate situations that some of these guys were in as far as getting to truly showcase their talents. I think overall, really fun wide receiver class, though. I think it's probably, if you put all the positions and stacked them up in this year's draft class, I'd say it's a top two or three position this year in terms of depth. So wide receivers today, we're going to be focusing on the top 10, but obviously we're not just going to be focusing on my rankings. We're going to also be talking about a few names later on as well that could be names to watch for the Kansas City Chiefs that don't quite crack the top 10 for me personally. And I think just before we get into the rankings here, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers right now. Of course, lost Sammy Watkins to free agency. He went on to sign with the Baltimore Ravens. And, like I said, I think when that happened, I think Sammy will obviously hold a special place in a lot of Chiefs fans' hearts for his contributions in the playoffs. But I think honestly, it was just time. It was kind of time to move on. It run its course when you put the injuries into perspective, and they are going to be needing to fill that X receiver role. But I think they could do it with a little bit different style than what they got with Watkins, as far as maybe a bigger body guy, possibly in this year's draft. Still some speed, but I don't think that's honestly going to be their total main focus with adding a wide receiver this year. They were able to bring back DeMarcus Robinson, second straight year on a one-year deal. Kind of surprising each year because we thought he was gone possibly both years. But, I like the Robinsons coming back when you look at where the wide receiver position is right now. I mean, he could probably produce just as well as any other guys that would have been about the same skill set. On the free agent market, you talk about Josh Reynolds going from the Rams to the Titans. That was a name kind of to watch for Kansas City. There's some other guys in there that have similar skill sets and similar production so far that Robinson has that was kind of in that same bucket. But I mean, you look at what Robinson has done last year, his best year in terms of production, and also he's continued to grow as a route runner and, with his hands. So I think overall he's become more complete the last couple of years. And overall, I think we're just waiting to see, right, if that role will expand a little more this season in 2021 with Kansas City. But yeah, really good to see DeMarcus Robinson back. But obviously there's still a ceiling on what he can do in the offense and obviously what roles he can truly fill in the offense. So with Kansas City, you have Byron Pringle, I think, is the name that a lot of fans are really excited to see how he does. We know Tyreek Hill is almost in a league of his own, one of one. There's just nobody that, obviously has that speed, but also, the way that he has grown from where he came as kind of more of a gadget player entering the league and now becoming a more complete guy with his routes and his fakes and obviously his hands, You know, it's been a pretty remarkable transition considering where he was at entering the league in 2016 as a player. So Tyreek Hill's still going to be in a league of his own, but, you know, there's only so much we've seen at times that Patrick Mahomes or the offense can rely on him, or how much he can open up himself, you know, when things aren't going the Chiefs' way. So wide receiver, honestly, I could see them taking one in the first round. I don't think it's out of the question. I think as we sit here 6 days from the draft getting underway, I truly feel right now the Chiefs probably are going to go best player available if they pick in round one. I don't really feel totally convinced that they're going to stick at 31 overall, whether that's moving up in the first round a little bit to get a guy they really, really, really like, or moving out of the first round and making their first pick in round two. So I think right now they're going to be playing best player available, but we know this is a team that has a little more holes on the roster than, say, the past few drafts. So, but I mean, wide receiver two role, it's still a big need. So it's not just going best player available if one of these top receivers are there for them, but you're also getting a guy that you think can produce consistently from the get-go. So that's kind of where things stand right now for Kansas City from a wide receiver perspective. Some of the guys that are currently on the roster who will be still at the top of the depth chart. But let's get it going now with our top 10 wide receiver rankings. And for me personally, it all starts with Ja'Marr Chase. I was doing my, like I said, overall rankings, finalizing those late last week as far as just my top 32 players. And I put Chase, I believe, at number four overall. So he's my top wide receiver. The biggest thing for me with Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, there's so many different roles that I think he can fill in an offense. And I think it's because of, one, just the wide variety that you can use him as far as a route runner, and also just his yard after catch ability. I think speed is something that's a little underrated for him, because obviously it's something that for all these other top wide receivers is more of a focal point. But I think with him, it gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. His vertical ability and contested catch ability is obviously, you know, one of the best that I've seen of any wide receivers the last few years coming into the NFL. If you remember their 2019 championship season for LSU, Joe Burrow had complete confidence in Ja'Marr Chase to come down with any 50-50 ball. At times, it became 75-25 in favor of Chase. So Ja'Marr Chase gets the nod there for me as wide receiver one. Jaylen Waddle at two, and he is some other people's top wide receiver, and I can see why. But I think there is a little bit of a limit, I think, with how you can use Waddle with where he's at currently in his game. I don't really think that you can, you know, you can trust him to be that consistent guy in every area of the field at all three levels. I think his speed obviously is the number one thing that makes him dangerous for defenses. And I think his spatial awareness as well. When I say he can't really be consistently dominant at all three levels, it's not because I don't think he can handle it, obviously, you know, any route in any of those areas of the field. I think it's just the depth of where he's at right now, I think, is still a little more limited than maybe what other people see personally. But yeah, Jaylen Waddle still obviously a tremendous player. I think obviously if he gets in the right system and the right offense, they can move him around the formation. They can kind of put him in obviously some direct touches and get him the ball quickly and let his speed work in the open field. So Jaylen Waddle obviously suffered a devastating injury last year, broken ankle, I believe, but was still able to come back and somewhat take part in that national championship game, not at 100%, but I mean, the toughness and the competitiveness that he showed just to come back after about a few months after shattering his ankle against, I believe it was Tennessee, pretty tremendous stuff there for Jaylen Waddle, and hasn't had, I don't think, any issues, of course, with that during the pre-draft process from what's been reported. So Jaylen Waddle is my wide receiver too. If the Chiefs obviously were, you know, higher up in the draft order than they are right now, obviously just because of the speed alone, you know that say the Chiefs were picking in the top 10, 15, they would obviously have their sights all over Jalen Waddle, but probably not going to obviously be in their reach. Number three for me is Devontae Smith, and obviously a lot of people are going to talk about his weight and being undersized, but I think he plays so much bigger than that. You saw him consistently get open at Alabama, so it's not like it's just, you know, being a gadget type of guy. I think he has a very nuanced set of route running skills and fakes to be able to get open as much as he does. And honestly, I think he has more spatial awareness than what he's given credit for in the open field. Very, very calm under pressure. As far as, you know, especially, again, going back to playing bigger than his size at times. But yeah, Devontae Smith at three. As far as my overall rankings, I put him just a little lower than I thought I would, just because I think there is you never want to compare, you know, one player's usage in the NFL to another's right away, but you look at his college teammate from last year in Henry Ruggs III with Vegas. Raiders really struggled with what to do with Ruggs, and I see Smith in a similar light. Possibly if he doesn't go to the right system, I think there's going to be some struggle with how to use him, but I think there'll be less issues for that maybe for Smith than what there was last year for Ruggs. Again, I think he plays so much bigger than his size, so some of that will not be a big factor. But yeah, very, very smart wide receiver, and like I said, very nuanced in his route running skills and being able to consistently get open. That's going to be obviously his number one attribute, I think, going into the NFL. Number four for me, and this is a player I've really, really loved since the beginning of the year, and it's LSU wide receiver Terrace Marshall Jr. We wrote about him. One of our first wide receiver draft profiles this year at FBC Chiefs back in February. And I always like to look back on, you know, these guys' career, obviously at the college level, but also some cool personal information for them. And Terrace Marshall Jr. actually has some Kansas City Chiefs ties already, as Joe Delaney was one of his uncles. And of course, sadly passed away trying to save kids drowning in a lake, you know, back in the day. So never got to meet his uncle Joe Delaney before, you know, he passed away. But Terrace Marshall Jr. does have some Kansas City Chiefs ties already. And honestly, the steam for Kansas City possibly picking him in the first round has really, really picked up the last few weeks. I don't think it's going to be a shock if that were to happen, because I think honestly, the NFL, they may view him a little lower than I view him personally as far as stacking the wide receivers up one by one. I think he could be a guy that goes more, you know, not until the 20s, where I think personally I would take him in the teens. So I know that's splitting hairs as far as where exactly he could go, but there's a lot of people out there, some trusted reporters with either the NFL Network or people that have covered the draft for a long time and do a really good job, that have started to say, don't be surprised if we see Terrace Marshall Jr. go to the Chiefs. He's obviously got blazing speed, vertical threat, which I think is something obviously the team needs in Kansas City, but also just for what really made Marshall Jr. the wide receiver four in my rankings. I think he's very, very smart, very, very good at how he uses his speed, not always going full throttle, handles it very well, stays under control, but also got has the awareness to really feel the field, feel where the softer zones are, you know, knows when he has to kind of push it and bring out his physical side in vertical situations or in contested catch situations. So Terrace Marshall Jr., to me, I just, there's very, very minimal holes and negatives in his game entering the league. I think really, really going to be fun to see if there's a chance that Kansas City could wind up with him. I know wide receiver, again, not necessarily the top need, but sometimes the draft, it's about acquiring as much of the best talent as you can and not always reaching for the need. So with Terrace Marshall Jr., to me, especially hearing some of the rumors we've heard recently regarding him in Kansas City, I would be really ecstatic, honestly, if the Chiefs were able to land him in the first round. Wide receiver five for me is Minnesota's Rashad Bateman. Dropped him a little bit lower probably than he would have been, say, you know, at the start of the season. Obviously, another guy that could be a Chiefs fit just simply for the fact that his route running, a very smooth, fluid route running skills, but ran a lot of in-breaking routes and had some RPO action while at Minnesota. So you look at how that translates to the Chiefs, and obviously seeing their RPO game and a lot of in-breaking routes or slants working the middle of the field. Rashad Bateman could be another guy here, very, very top of the wide receiver rankings. As he's fifth for me, but I think definitely worth the first round pick. And honestly, yeah, I think another guy that the way the NFL could view him, he could slide enough that the Chiefs have a chance to pluck him there at the end of the first round if they want to stick at 31. I do worry a little bit about his releases and not always being able to consistently create separation at the NFL level. But I think overall, his physical and athletic profile will always overtake that and win those reps. Just because of his effort and also awareness and smart. So I think very, very fluid football player, but obviously the creating separation part I think will be the biggest hurdle for him entering the NFL. Wide receiver 6 for my rankings is Diami Brown, and if you've been following me either on Twitter or obviously on this show or with our articles, this is a guy that I placed number, I believe it was 29 or 30, in my top 32 rankings. I actually would spend a first round pick on Diami Brown, and I don't think I'm alone, but there's not a lot of people out there that I don't think have necessarily put him that high in their rankings. And for me, another guy, Chiefs could probably take him, and he could thrive with solid production consistently right away. What I like about him, he's got a bigger body, but knows how to obviously use his frame to his advantage, whether it's in contested catch situations, fakes and counters before the ball gets to him in the throwing lane, and then obviously has the speed and awareness to boot. So there's another guy for me that not a lot of negatives in his game. If anything, I think maybe his releases could use some work, and I think there is a little bit of there's going to be a learning curve for him, I think, adjusting to obviously a wider route tree and more depth with that. But overall, I love Diami Brown a lot. That entire offense with North Carolina obviously was really fun to watch. And Diami Brown, to me, I think probably could honestly translate to the NFL the quickest of any of these wide receivers. And that's, you know, a little bit more of a gray area than what it used to be as far as, you know, being quote pro ready. You know, I think Diami Brown has all the makings to handle multiple roles in an offense, like we said for some other guys here, right away. I just absolutely love his game. Again, I think he's very, very smart with the football in his hand, has great spatial awareness. The angles that he takes with yards after catch is very, very keen and smart, and he uses it in an advantageous way. So Diami Brown's a top 32 player for me, top 30 actually, I believe, and wide receiver number 6 in my rankings. The next 4 in these top 10, it's kind of tough, man, for me to order some of these guys because I'm definitely lower on some of these guys, I think, than I am compared to the consensus. And one of them is Kadarius Toney. I still really like Toney, but I think compared to where I was at on him a couple of months ago, I honestly would take a chance on some guys later on, you know, for a similar skill set as a slot guy and somewhat of a gadget receiver with yard after catch ability than I would Kadarius Toney. But I couldn't put him any lower, so I put him at wide receiver 7 in my rankings. And obviously the thing that is a big question mark for him, right? He only had the one solid year of production in 2020, dealt with some injuries. Florida struggled with truly finding a role for him in their offense. You know, he's played some, I believe it was Wildcat quarterback and a little bit of running back as well. And that's okay. I mean, he's going to be a guy that obviously gets those gadget touches and, you know, direct touches. But I think overall, as far as from a wide receiver standpoint, I really wonder with how long the development's going to take with Kadarius Toney. So I think what you look at, you know, as far as all the athletic and physical attributes, I don't really have a lot of worries there. But I think, you know, what scheme and role is he going to slide into? And, you know, is he going to be able to stay durable and stay consistently, you know, healthy? That's going to be the biggest thing for me with Kadarius Toney. So personally, I'm probably lower on him a little more now than I was a couple of months ago. But in my opinion, I still got to put him here at wide receiver number 7. Number 8 to me is Elijah Moore, and this is a guy I think the NFL is going to really love. I would not be surprised if he ends up being a first-round pick, and I really like him as well. I just I couldn't put him any higher than this in my own rankings, and I think Elijah Moore is a guy that size-wise, you're probably, you know, you look at the numbers and read it and you think, you know, he's going to be limited to being a slot guy. But honestly, it's another guy here that I think plays bigger than his size. One of the guys that has a deeper route tree of some of these, you know, smaller wide receivers, quote unquote. But yeah, I think honestly, Elijah Moore, there's a lot of guys in this class that their best football could very well be ahead of them. And I think Elijah Moore fits that bill. Obviously had a good season this year at Ole Miss, but I think honestly, if he goes to an offense that truly wants to, you know, enhance their wide receiver core and take it up another level, I'm thinking of like a Green Bay, a Tennessee, teams like that in the first round. They could certainly, I think, bring their wide receiver group up a level if they take a chance on a guy like Elijah Moore. I think, you know, again, playing bigger than his size, I think it has to go into contact balance. I think it has to go into how he creates separation in against press man coverage. I think it's how he plays in contested catch situations. So everything just looks so natural for him. And really, I think it's a guy the NFL, like I said, is going to love. And I truly think he's going to be a first-round pick, even though he won't necessarily be a top 32 player for me, but a guy I still really, really like. Wide receiver 9 is Nico Collins, and I recently wrote about him in a draft profile for FPC Chiefs, and a guy that was an opt-out, did not play this past year at Michigan. Took him a little while to really find a true role with the Wolverines, but man, you look at his size, 6'4", about 215, 220, but still the speed and the quickness that he has, really, really impressed when I watched him on tape. I think there is still going to be a little bit of a learning curve for him and just, you know, feeling out, you know, his release package and obviously being able to, you know, come down a little bit more consistently with some passes. He did have some drops, especially in traffic or in the middle of the field with Michigan. But again, a guy that can go up high point to football, very, very physical, but still has the quickness and athletic ability to boot that obviously he could be still a dangerous guy after the catch. So I really like Nico Collins. You know, the Senior Bowl is kind of when he really started to get my attention. Wish I could have put him a little higher, honestly, of these wide receiver rankings, but he's number 9 for me. And to round out the top 10, Rondale Moore from Purdue. Man, his stock is all over the place. I think I'm definitely lower on him than probably some of the consensus, but lately I've seen other people say, yeah, they don't really have him that high in their wide receiver rankings. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a size issue because you could say the same thing, obviously, about Devonta Smith. And I think there is obvious question marks there. But with Rondale Moore, it's been the durability concerns. With Devonta Smith at about the same size or, you know, even a little smaller, there has not been the durability concerns. With Rondale Moore, he's missed time with, you know, significant injuries this year to begin 2020, which again, you know, he opted out, opted back in, and it was kind of weird. Purdue kind of said, you know, I think the coach kind of said, I might be paraphrasing here, but kind of said, you know, Rondale will be ready when he's ready. So it was kind of a weird situation to begin this season. We didn't know if he was necessarily hurt, you know, what was going on there. But I think that was part of it, was just more durability issues. And I think you look at just how the NFL has handled these guys, I could honestly see Rondale Moore dropping out of the first two rounds. I could very well be wrong, but I think you look at just Laviska Shenault, how good of a college career that he had, and he's a little bit bigger guy, size-wise, still kind of small for what is perceived to be, you know, prototypical wide receiver size at the NFL level, but the durability issues bumped him down into, I believe it was, what, the 40s or 50s last year in the second round. So I think Rondale Moore, when you're looking at, you know, him being even smaller and having those significant durability concerns, I just could not put him any higher. I honestly was not even thinking about putting him in my top 10, but I think when I stacked up the wide receivers, there was just nobody else to me that really stuck out as a guy that I had to put above him. So it's weird. I think he's a weird spot. It's going to be a guy that, you know, with his size and with the role that he's going to fit, obviously for a lot of players, it depends where they go, you know, what team takes the chance on them. But I think that Rondale Moore, there may not be a lot of other players that really kind of fit that mold this year, as far as, man, he has to go, I think, to the right scheme and the right offense to really flourish early in the NFL. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be a playmaker and be a yak guy all over the place. But there's just so many question marks, both with his durability and just, you know, his true athletic ability. I mean, he even tested a little bit disappointingly than what a lot of people thought he would. So a lot of question marks, a lot of skeptics out there for Rondale Moore, myself included in some areas. So I put him at wide receiver 10. But yeah, I think when you look at some other guys to keep in mind for the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, I mentioned some there in my top 10 that I think could obviously be Chiefs fits, when you talk about Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman, Deami Brown, maybe even Nico Collins. I think they're truly looking for a guy this year that is obviously going to be a little bit bigger, can fill more of a possession type of receiver role and fill that X spot. But don't rule out them getting, I think, kind of a slot guy with speed being the main focus later on. I think there's some other names to keep in mind here that I didn't have in my top 10 rankings. And one guy that's close to my top 10 that didn't quite make it was Amari Rodgers from Clemson. Another guy I think plays a little bit bigger than his size. You saw that at the Senior Bowl if you watched the game there on Saturday back in January. Very, very good. Knows for the football. Calm under pressure. Catch comfort is no issue at all. Has rarely any issues plucking the ball out of the air, or no issues with drops. So obviously Amari Rodgers, I think, you know, dealt with some injuries, and we were seeing some stuff where he was kind of limited in his role in Clemson's offense. But I think he was able to kind of expand his role and you know, hit on that when the chances were there with Clemson this season, and Trevor Lawrence throwing him the football. So Amari Rodgers is a guy I really, really like. He's climbed up my overall big board ever since the Senior Bowl especially. So going to be really excited to see where exactly I place him in my overall rankings. Another guy that I think is going to be really, really good at the NFL level. He's not got a lot of hype right there or right now. They're among the wide receivers, but I think the true, you know, diehard draft fans and the draft community have kind of been on him lately. And a guy I've really liked watching lately is Stanford Simi Fehoko. 6'4", 227 pounds, but moves very, very smooth in space. Very, very good route runner. Has some physicality that he can use to his advantage. And, man, he makes some of the more difficult catches, especially contested catches, look really, really easy. So if you're looking for a possession type of guy and you can't necessarily get him early if you're the Chiefs, Simi Fehoko's a guy I think I would be willing to take a chance on, whether it is late round 3 or early round 4. I think he's going to be pretty close to my top 100 rankings, honestly, when it's all said and done here by this upcoming Wednesday before the draft, if he does not quite crack the top 100. Austin Watkins from UAB, a guy I've really, really loved for a long time. Great spatial awareness and yak ability. I think there is some times when he can get a little bit too dancy in the open field. But man, very, very, I think trustable as far as what he can be for quarterbacks, as far as you look at how natural he is with his hands, and also just with his vertical and downfield threat ability. So Austin Watkins, it would be a little bit funny to see the Chiefs draft him if they did, because he is cousin of Sammy Watkins, who obviously now is not with the team. But I think there's a lot that the Chiefs would like with him. There's still going to be, I think, a significant learning curve for him, just because played junior college before he went to UAB. The production has not always been there, but I think it's obviously he's got a lot of potential, I think, to be a consistent contributor at the NFL level. And I know a lot of other people really like Austin Watkins. Some other guys I think to keep in mind, Arizona State's Frank Darby. I keep kind of going back and forth on him. I think he's got some fun run route running and some spatial awareness in his game. But there's other times where I think he struggles with his hands. But he just seems and looks, I think, like a Chiefs fit when you look at him on tape from Arizona State. Josh Amater-Bebe from Illinois used to be at USC, transferred to Illinois. One of the biggest physical freaks in this wide receiver class. His explosion numbers, whether it be with his vertical or, of course, even with his quickness at his size, man, that really stood out watching him in his pro day. And, you know, just seeing what he was able to do in an Illinois offense that was kind of limited at times. And obviously he is entering the NFL with the limited production in spurts. But I think you look at just his physical profile, teams are, I think, certainly going to be willing to take a chance on him. And he's a guy I'm hoping to write about, hopefully, if I have time to get his draft profile in before Thursday. Josh Amater-Bebe from Illinois is certainly a guy to keep in mind. Daz Newsome, who actually I just finished my tape up on him last night. I'm going to be getting that draft profile out today, the same day as this podcast episode. So Daz Newsome from North Carolina, maybe more limited to being a slot guy, but I think he's a guy that eventually is obviously going to become a major weapon for an NFL team. I think his releases and his route running, like combining those two things, were, I think, some of the best as far as guys not, you know, in the, say, top five, six of my wide receivers. Really takes pride in, I think, being able to set himself up with multiple looks that he's giving the defense, whether it's with fakes or counters that he has before the ball gets there. Great feel for the soft zones and where the where the defenders are kind of coming at, and obviously explosive speed, yak ability is something that's going to be able to hopefully give him consistent production. There's so many other guys. I mean, wide receiver, again, a very deep class. I won't really go as in-depth with some guys here anymore, but I think some other guys that I really, really like. I mean, Des Fitzpatrick from Louisville had a great Senior Bowl, Cornell Powell from Clemson, Trayvon Grimes from Florida, Marlon Williams from UCF, Jonathan Adams Jr., if you want a possession receiver, he's definitely a guy on day three that eventually I think a lot of draft fans will be interested to see where he goes. Tamorian Terry from Florida State, a lot of people like him. Movement skills, he makes it look so easy for a guy his size at 6'4", 205 pounds. Another one of those Florida State players has a lot of potential, but you don't really know how he is going to be coming into the NFL just because, you know, his Florida State career was kind of stop and start, so to speak, especially with what coaching they kind of had, kind of, I think, hindered those players and honestly brought them down a level from what they really could have been with the Seminoles. So those are some other guys I think to keep in mind if the Chiefs say they want to wait a little bit to get a receiver or want to double down later later on in the draft on day three. So wide receiver deep dive today, but I do also have to touch on another topic real quick, and that would be Alex Smith retiring earlier this week, and I wasn't able to get a podcast episode recording done right after that happened, with just some other draft stuff and other busyness going on this week. But obviously, during his time with the Chiefs, you know, obviously changed Kansas City's culture, you know, along with Andy Reid and some of those other players in there starting in 2013. And, you know, obviously I think I saw him, Brett Favre, are the only two quarterbacks to have a winning record with three different teams in the NFL. But yeah, I think his greatest winning percentage was in Kansas City. So, you know, you talk about where the team was at, you know, going 2-14 in 2012 and him coming in. Alex Smith truly knew what it took to obviously change the Chiefs in 2013 and beyond for the better. And, you know, just being able to consistently get those wins. I know sometimes they struggled in bigger games or in the playoffs, weren't always the results they wanted to have. But Alex Smith obviously knew what it took. The toughness, you know, that he had back then. And then obviously, as we later found out with the leg injury that he overcame, unbelievable story there. So with Alex Smith retiring, obviously got to give major props and congratulations to him on a great career. And I will say this, I mean, obviously there was sometimes a ceiling and a limit on Alex Smith, but without Alex Smith and what he was able to do and where he was able to bring the Chiefs up to as far as, you know, among the NFL ranks, there's not really a Patrick Mahomes without Alex Smith. He kind of put that team in position to, you know, be able to take a swing and a chance on upgrading from what they already had with a good quarterback. And That obviously led to eventually a Super Bowl win, and even Patrick Mahomes kind of said the other day after Smith retired that, you know, Smith was still felt on that team as a part of their squad when they won the Super Bowl against the 49ers. So left a big impact on Kansas City. Certainly a guy I could see in the Chiefs Ring of Honor one day if you're obviously a fan about that. But obviously just the story coming back and being able to actually play a game in the NFL after the unfortunate leg injury that he had in 2018. Never thought he'd play again. So inspiration, competitive toughness, and a true leader, obviously during his time with the Chiefs, but just overall throughout his entire NFL career. So congratulations to Alex Smith on retirement. Wanted to finish on a happy note there after we talk about the wide receivers in my rankings and some Chiefs guys to keep in mind possibly as fits at wide receivers. So with that, we're going to wrap up today's episode. Of course, you guys can follow me on Twitter at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Follow the Full Press Coverage Chiefs Twitter account at FPC_Chiefs. The main Full Press NFL account is at Full Press NFL, all spelled out, and the main Full Press Coverage account is at FP Coverage, I believe. So go follow all those Twitter accounts, of course, so you can stay tuned to the latest. We got draft coverage coming up next week. I know myself and Ian Blendon and maybe some other people are going to be taking part in obviously providing in-depth coverage for the NFL Draft 2021. So excited to get that going and so excited for that to be here, obviously, next week. You guys can also check out daily video content with Full Press Coverage. Dylan and Ross Save Sports, that is weekdays, 5 Eastern, 4 Central. You can go to YouTube or Facebook, search Full Press Coverage, and you guys can watch it live there. Again, 5 Eastern, 4 Central is Dylan and Ross Save Sports. I know they were doing a mock draft yesterday. Probably going to be talking more about the NFL draft as well, as much as they can as we get closer and closer to these selections officially taking place on Thursday. And also FPC Radio Live with Ian Glendon and Mike DeBate every weekday morning. I believe it's usually about 9 a.m. Eastern time. So always love listening to those guys and of course, the tremendous work that they do. Not just with that, but other shows or other, you know, team pages, Mike with the Patriots, Ian with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and also the Full Press NHL page. If you're a fan of hockey, the hockey regular season is getting down to the home stretch as well. Playoffs will be starting probably in about a month or so. So stay tuned for the latest NHL news if you're a hockey fan there at Full Press NHL. And I think that about does it. Of course, stay tuned. We'll get our last few draft profiles out here. I'm hoping to get to 50 personally as far as Chiefs prospects go on the Full Press Chiefs page by Wednesday. So I got 8 more in about 6 days. One of them will be out today, same day this podcast episode drops. As I mentioned, North Carolina wide receiver Daz Newsome will be out today as well. So go check that out. Stay tuned for our last few draft profiles after that going through Wednesday. Wednesday will be the last day, obviously, that I'll have one come out. But a couple other pieces I'm hoping to get out as well. So stay tuned for a piece on GM Brett Veach and what this draft could mean for him in Kansas City. Plus, our final of 4 FPC Chiefs mock drafts will drop with mock draft Monday on Monday. So stay tuned for the latest draft coverage with Full Press Coverage Chiefs, but also all the other team pages and with Full Press NFL in general. Everybody enjoy their weekend. And with that, we will see you guys next time.